pay close heed to my every word.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 384. I'm Matt Derson.
I'm your host, John Hunt.
With very special guest, Clay Inferno.
And George Wendt. So, you know, it's like, I always like that, and, you know. So. Okay. We're just kidding. George Wendt isn't on this episode. But what a guest.
It's so funny. I ride my bike around the city, and there's like multiple Cheers bars. Like, there's one in Faneuil Hall, there's one in Congress Street. Then yeah. There's like the actual exterior, which is the Bull and Finch Pub, which right. Like looks nothing like Cheers on the inside.
No, it's just really small, isn't it? Like, it's yeah, really.
But people go there and take pictures and shit.
Yeah. I
I've yet to do that. I'm surprised I haven't done that. Though, but I would feel.
But like I mean, you're Joe. Not a tourist, so what?
I know, yeah, I would feel like a Joe doing it, but I kind of want to do it.
I mean, all but it's same. Been like the show's been off the air for like 35 years. I mean, why would you do it now?
Why not? That's the perfect time to do it because no one else is.
I will say something. I will say a funny story though. So there was a great Cheers episode where they made up this fake drink called the Screaming Viking, and. I love it. It was like this classic thing because Sam had left and they were trying to get him his job back. But like there was another bartender there and the bartender was like, oh, if you can find a drink I don't know how to make, I'll quit. And so they made up this drink called the Screaming Viking. And it was this great thing. And Woody's like, oh, I can make that drink. Do you want that cucumber bruised? So anyways, it was a whole thing. So years ago, many years ago, I was out with Brian, who we were just talking about a few minutes ago, our friend Brian, and we were in Faneuil Hall for some reason, which I don't know why. I never go there.
Yeah, but it's like you're always like wondering why you're there every time.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I doing here? But we ended up going into Cheers, just whatever, just to get a drink. And I was like, oh my God, they have a Screaming Viking. Like, it was the greatest thing. I was like, yes.
Did you get it with a bruised cucumber or no?
I mean, I don't know what was in it. The cuke. But it was pretty funny. I was just like, yeah, I have to get the Screaming Viking. I don't remember what it was. I don't think it had cucumber in it, but it was pretty hilarious. So there's my Cheers reference. I love that show though. I'm not going to mince words. Huh. I'm not ashamed.
No, why should you be?
I love that show.
All right. Stop. Settle down.
Settle down.
And yeah, Ted I love Woody
yeah, and Ted Danson. I love Ted Danson.
I love when he's dancing.
In Veronica's Closet.
Show's off to an amazing start today, by the way. Just
yeah. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Just great.
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 Great. There was like no comics this week.
That's why I'm here.
There you go. It's a good time for John to come on.
You didn't read that X-Men comic, The Powers of X?
Yeah, I read it. Did I understand anything that happened in it? Not really.
It was like future X-Men. Year 1000.
But at the very end, they have this sort of Adam and Eve situation going on there. So what does that mean? Is that sort of just like the circle?
The end of Battlestar.
This is what you kept doing.
Or not interrupt him. Does that just mean like sort of the circle of life? Like, oh, there will, you know, it begins again and all this stuff. I don't know. The art was great.
I had that going for it.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of like the end of Battlestar Galactica. You know? Like,
maybe.
Which is just stealing that. Basically.
So is that like
it's kind of
is
cool,
it actually,
I don't really understand a lot of what's going on here, but I liked reading the future story.
It's an interesting concept. So I'm kind of thinking like is that like not the future but the past or whatever, one of those deals? Do you remember there was a theory going around when we were like before all the prequels, before everything, that Star Wars really was like when it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, it was our galaxy.
Or whatever. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, that was Lee Mansfield told me that. And I said, I don't know if I believe that or not, but okay. But yeah. Back then, people were like scrambling for anything Star Wars. So like somebody
now came we're up scrambling with, to get away from Star Wars.
Yeah,
run please. Away, run away.
Run away. Yeah, stop with the Star Wars already. I'm still reading theories. Oh, you know, this guy on Reddit has an idea about how the Emperor is still alive and whatever. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want anyone to be. I want them all dead.
Those are some dark corners of the internet you're on, my friend. I would never go anywhere near anything like that.
These are clickbait. I'm not. I mean, you know, I'm seeing the headlines. I'm not like.
Okay, good.
I'm not going in search for these things. But yeah,
it's funny how it targets stuff like that differently.
I know. It knows my habits. Only too well. But yeah, I got that. And this week there were a lot of Avengers things because it came out on digital or whatever, you know, streaming and all that. Digital whatever. Avengers Endgame.
I got it on digital whatever and I started watching it and I got like 10 minutes in and then I fell asleep or something.
And the 9 hours of extras. Or whatever.
Godzilla King of the Monsters comes out on digital on Tuesday, on the 6th.
So, but when does it come out on digital whatever?
It comes out on digital whatever on the 6th. And then, you know, Blu-ray and 4K and...
Blu-ray.
And
DVD.
DVD. I remember there was a time where I'd be all excited for a movie to come out on DVD. And I'm like, oh, I mean, 7 hours of extras. That sounds pretty good. And I would go and watch the extras once, maybe, and that would be that.
Watch them ever again.
Yeah.
There are some movies that I will continually return to the commentary tracks on, but other than that, usually the extras I don't care much about.
Yeah.
You can usually find better extras of, like, that are made by people on YouTube instead.
Yeah, nowadays you can.
Yeah.
The Deadpool, the first Deadpool movie commentary is pretty awesome. I've watched that like a couple times, at least 3 times.
It's funny though, too, because there was a thing, not even that long, I think it must have been Infinity War or something, but I wanted to buy it on Amazon and I accidentally just bought the regular version without the extras. And I was like mad. But then I was like, well, what's the difference? Like, but someone was like, oh, did you see this extra? And I was like, no.
No, now I'm mad.
And then but life goes on and who cares? And,
in the end.
They always put those on YouTube, too. What my YouTube algorithm gives me is like, here's a deleted scene from Guardians of the Galaxy, which I know is on the extras, but I'm probably more likely to watch it there on YouTube.
Right, because you watch stuff, you know, kind of on the go. You just pop a little YouTube thing in, whatever, you know. But I don't know. I was all reading all kinds of stuff. It's just, I don't know.
The sneaky thing that they do, though, is they put, like, good comic book history.
That's the only reason I bought the Fantastic Four on DVD was to get the whole Jack Kirby
document. Yeah, you get like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko stuff and like tons of Stan Lee stuff and like interviews about like whatever some random thing would be like on an early version of a Marvel movie.
Yeah, now it's like it's too much. It's too much.
Avi Arad has probably made a bunch of them.
Oh, he probably
he's
have.
All over the place.
How do you think we got the voice down so well?
It's all the extras.
Yeah. I was reading one that, like, you know, old, like, there's, like, some gray-haired guy way in the background at Peggy Carter's funeral during Civil War. And, like that's old Steve Rogers. Oh. They were hanging out at the same time. It's like, well, sure, probably was.
As much but as like, I was teasing you about clickbait, I saw an article that was like, the Russo brothers confirmed there's always been 2 Captain Americas in the MCU.
Right.
But did they confirm it? Or was that just them shoot.
I mean, they probably tweeted it. You know, they probably just responded to a tweet, or there was a lot of stuff came out of like a panel at San Diego that was like, they had a lot of questions, and I don't know. It's just, this one was like one of the writers saying like, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Rogers was old. Steve Rogers was at the funeral. It's kind of just like, sure, whatever, fans, just believe whatever you want to believe. You know what I mean? It's like, kind of feel like by this point they're like, hey man, I'm just a screenwriter, I'm just trying to make a buck here, you know.
Yeah,
but
I can't get too caught up on all that.
I know, it's a riot though what fans are. There's like, apparently there's like all kinds of stuff out there on this, on like the time travel theories and stuff in Avengers Endgame, and I don't know, I just want
Shatner to tell them to get a life.
That's right. Yeah. You took this thing I did as a lark and just turned it into a colossal waste of time.
Yeah, that's the entire internet now.
I know, it kind of is. Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
Yeah.
Oh well. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, hey, it did become, we never even talked about this, but it did become the most popular, I mean, the most highest grossing movie, I should say, of all time.
Yeah,
did. Beating out Avatar.
Well, for a internationally, anyway.
So I knew you were going to bring this up, and I wanted to say this without like sounding like a jerk to you, but like, I don't, who cares? Like, does that make any difference to the way the world works?
The way the world works? No.
Yeah, see?
Not really, but I mean, think
I'm,
you know,
depressed by the news, and I'm just like, who gives a fuck?
Who cares? There's more important stuff to worry about.
And they gamed it. That's what kind of pisses me off, too. They gamed it by releasing it again in the theaters to, like, push it over that.
That's what I mean about it doesn't really matter anymore. Because now, like, every time a movie, like, they re-release Star Wars and it was the same thing. It's like, oh, now it's number three or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't really, you shouldn't count that. And
Disney did all that stuff where they were like strong-arming like small theaters. Like, you, if you want to buy Star Wars, it's going to make you a ton of money. Like, you have to,
but you have to show it on, yeah, and you have to have it this much, and you couldn't replace it with
a new movie, which is something that they also make money on.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it, in the end, it doesn't matter. Like, I used to be interested in that stuff. Like, back in the, I remember when Jurassic Park became the highest-grossing movie of all time. And it was like a big deal because the one that beat out was E.T., which was like 10 years before. And we hadn't, you know, I mean, now like every movie makes billions, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, there was a time when it did. And I always, as a film buff, I always kind of found that stuff interesting. But now it's kind of just lost its, because I'm sure when the next Avatar comes out, that'll probably just beat this one. So who cares?
Yeah. It's so funny that people are talking about Avatar still, because it's like, so it was like 1,000 years ago. It was like before the Marvel movies, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 2009. So
maybe it was. So I guess Iron Man was out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's weird. I never saw it.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. I don't care about seeing it.
I don't want to see it. I tried to watch like a few minutes of it once because I was like, I should see this movie, you know, it's a big deal. And I was like, oh, this is boring, I don't care.
I went because it was the just strictly for the 3D. You probably couldn't really watch it on your TV at home. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, back then, 3D was like not as good as it is now. But it was the first one that was like they put a lot of money into. So that's why I went. But I didn't really like the story or give a shit about it afterwards. Yeah. I never like really thought about it.
Well, we got four more coming.
How did Last Action Hero do at the box office when it opened?
Last Action Hero was considered sort of a disappointment at the time.
Yeah, probably because Arnold Schwarzenegger had been making hits and stuff. That was like the first movie by him that I didn't go see for whatever reason. Come to think of it, I even saw Twins in the theater.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
I think I saw it with you.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, because I remember going to see that in the theater.
We saw a lot of movies together back then.
Yes, we did.
That was all there was to do, I guess. Suburban, you know, kids.
Commando.
Suburban Commando. Yep. Yeah. So, well, whatever. It's a nice thing for Marvel and Disney to say, like, well, I guess it doesn't matter to Disney because they own Avatar too now. But
they own everything now.
Yeah, but it was a fun thing for Kevin Feige to hang his hat on, I guess.
Yeah, oh, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Creators should all be proud.
Yeah.
Jack, Romita, Bendis, Deconic.
Deconic? Why, because she wrote some Captain Marvel? Oh, well. Yeah, I was speaking of Last Action Hero, which is not really, but speaking of action heroes, I saw Hobbs and Shaw, and that was hoot.
Hoot.
That movie was a real hoot nanny.
Wow.
Here's the funny thing. Like, we were talking about, like, because obviously you have to dispel any sense, like, you know, there's no science, there's no physics in this world, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's anything can happen. Like, once
yeah, it's
you
like
start,
5 year old rogues, yeah, you know, they're exactly. Like, this would be awesome if this happened. All right, let's right. Make it happen.
Let's do it. It's actually like what it is. It's like you're playing with your Matchbox cars, and you're just like, this car is just going to drive,
except like, less realistic.
Even a 5 year old with Matchbox cars has some sense of reality. But once you dispel that, because there's a funny, this is has nothing to do with the story, so no spoiler warnings here. But so in Fast and Furious 6, I guess, I don't know, Jason Statham like is like a bad guy and he kills his brother, or maybe it's the beginning of 7, whatever. So he kills his brother, who is also a bad guy. And then, like, in the next one, his brother's alive again. Like, and they team it up. And then in the next one, Jason Statham is teaming up with all the other guys. So in this one, they mention that Jason Statham's brother, hey, is dead. Again. And we were like, well, all right.
Was the other one a prequel?
I'd have no idea the order of these things. But, yeah, apparently some of them are out of order. So I don't know. It's just like, but once you dispel all like sense of reality and physics, then you can just come back to life. Like,
isn't the woman in it supposed to be the same age as him? But in reality, there's like 20 something years apart in their actual age. But they were kids together and they grew up together or something. I read that.
Oh, Vin Diesel and what's her name?
I thought it was Jason Statham and.
Oh, Jason Statham.
And whatever the woman is it his sister or something?
Oh, it's his sister. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, you know, they were kids together and stuff, but
yeah, they do make a lot of references to them growing up together and getting into weird things. But like, yeah, she's obviously way
been
younger
out at that point.
21 years younger, it has been confirmed by my wife. She's younger than you.
Yeah,
oh,
she was born in 1988. She's 31.
He's like 50, right?
52.
52?
Yeah.
He looks pretty good.
I know, he looks good. But yeah, there's no way they would grow up like 2 years in age apart.
Unless Jason Statham is not 51. Maybe in the movie world, he's like 31. Because he looks damn good.
Yeah. That's what I do in my movies. I can play someone that's like 15 years younger. So.
Awesome. Yeah, in your movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the movies. Well, anyway, but like, if you just throw all that out the window, there is no. It is literally like you said, 5 year olds playing with Matchbox cars, and like, it's the most ridiculous. But and I was telling John a little bit earlier that like, there was a moment at the beginning where I was like, oh, I'm worried about this. This might not actually be fun. I thought it was like going to be so stupid that it was not going to be fun. But it went back around to being like really fun. It was amazing. Once they start driving and fighting.
Yeah, that's what counts.
Yeah. Here's the thing I figured out about Jason Statham that he can do really well is that thing where if he's fighting two guys, he punches one and turns around and like punches the other and then kicks the first guy again. You know, that
he's
whole
been doing that for years.
Yeah. It's really, he's got that down. It's great. I mean, and they're obviously setting up for like more Hobbs and Shaw movies. So it's just like nothing can just be a one-off anymore. There's no, there's no like one movie and that's it. Like even Solo, which I'm pretty sure they're not going to make any more Solos, was sort of setting up other Solos.
Yeah, he was signed for like three movies or something.
Really? Oh man. Yeah.
Don't worry, you won't be seeing three Solo movies. It's not going to happen.
I feel bad. I mean, you know, 10-year-old Mac Durson would have never thought that he would ever say this, but am I glad there won't be any more Solo.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of like when we were kids and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a thing, and then like it became like way too much of a thing. That it turned around and it's like, when they started doing like animated cartoons, you're like,
The cartoon was the best part. I thought I didn't like the live action movie. That's when I was done with them. Actually, you know,
so, like they always had like multiple reboots of the cartoon too.
Well, yeah.
But, like still, they're still doing it.
I know,
they're
still doing it still to this day.
There was one not too long ago that was pretty funny. I thought it. It's
like the CGI one.
Yeah.
That one was okay. Cool. I think I got like a bunch of free episodes of that for some reason. That would show up in my iTunes.
Cause you like deals.
I like deals.
I don't know. Yeah, to me, I like the cartoon, but that was my first exposure to it. I guess like I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't even know it was a comic. Until someone was like, "No, the cartoon."
Oh, I didn't mean to disparage the cartoon so much as it sounded like.
It's okay.
I think about the time you were looking for Star Blazer stuff when you were a kid at a convention. You told me the story. I think you were getting me the comic book for my birthday, the Kamiko series.
Oh,
and
nice guy.
And you had asked about Star Blazers, and it was an Asian guy, and he was like, "Star Blazers, space battle, Shmate, take it, chop, chop, chop."
Yeah, he did. Chop, chop, chop. Yeah. I didn't know if he was yelling at me or
just, it's like, it's just a fucking kid. Jesus Christ.
No, I mean, just come on. I wasn't even like old enough to. I mean, yeah, I was a kid. It's not like I was like 18 and being like, "Hey man, I liked this when I was a kid and now I want to read you." No, it was literally.
So geeks have always been elitist assholes. So.
You know, I mean, he's right, I guess, in a way.
I mean, I understand why they made the changes that they did, and the story was still good. I mean, they kept all the intent of the characters and things, but they had to make certain changes, you know?
Yeah, you can't have a drunk doctor on the ship.
And if you called your ship the Yamato back then, there's still a large World War II that wasn't that long in the past, and it's, you know.
Yeah,
that Cold War shit and the stuff with Japan lasted like a real long time.
Yeah.
Well, still, there you go. Some people
still.
Yeah. So, oh man, those are the days of conventions, though. You could go and find weird stuff. You know.
Yeah.
And then all those guys get arrested.
Yeah.
Like, literally, remember our friend Andy used to tell me that, like, every month, this guy would come with all his bootleg tapes and DVDs.
Yeah, that guy ran, like, a Godzilla store.
Yeah.
So I had met him outside of that place. Like, I went with Chuck, and, like, we used to go there into Cambridge and go into this, it was like the size of a closet, and it was just crammed with all sorts of crazy Godzilla stuff. But, yeah, he was always selling bootleg movies at conventions and always getting arrested.
He'd always get, like,
one from him. You just grabbed it from the table and walked away.
I did, because like he wasn't. Not only was he not paying it, he wasn't paying attention to us for one thing. And I was trying to buy it.
Yeah.
And then I finally just said, "Fuck it." I think it was for you though, right? Like, was it?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember. I think I had bought one, and then there was another one. I was like, "Oh!" And then he wasn't talking. He wasn't looking.
It might have been like one of those old crappy Marvel, like Iron Man, where they just scanned the comic book or something. I don't know. It was the convention. I think we met Ed McGuinness at, where he did the secret monkey drawing.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's like 16 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't have a very fond. You know, my memory is a little foggy, but I do remember stealing
But is it really stealing if you're stealing from the thief?
Right. He's a bootlegger. What do you like? What am I? But he would literally get fined like every month. And I don't know why they wouldn't just literally throw him in jail and throw away the key. You know he's going to keep doing this. Like, I don't understand. Like, how many times is this going to... It's like, how many times do you have to kill someone, like, with your car before they literally never give you your license again? Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I've gotten in 5 drunk driving accidents. It's like, what? What are you talking
about? Yeah, wait, huh?
So, anyway, those are the days, so.
John, yeah, we said something that was funny. I was trying to think. I was like, I just heard that somewhere. And it was actually Wonder Woman to Bruce Wayne in Batman v Superman. She says that same thing. She says, is it really stealing if you're stealing from a thief? And she's like, Little boys don't share. I was merely borrowing your flash drive. Look in your glove compartment. That's where it is.
Well, that's what Durson said to the guy, the bootlegger.
That's right. I said, look in your glove compartment.
Look in your glove compartment. And then there was a live scorpion there that stung the guy when he reached in.
That's right. That's
why it wasn't the thing people. that actually heals James Bond in Casino Royale. He opens the thing up and he has to
it wasn't one of those. It wasn't a defibrillator.
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 Stibulator.
Flubbling. That was a scary moment. I mean, you figure James Bond is not going to die, especially that was his first one, Daniel Craig's first
one. It was
one,
scary. It was kind of like, scary.
How's he going to get out of this, you know?
And then he did.
And he did.
But since he's not going to be James Bond anymore, he's not going to be 007, he's going to be a black woman from now on. So
Daniel Craig is going to be
Daniel
a black
Craig's
woman?
Not gonna
That's
be a black
what it's going to be.
He's going to be in it, I heard, right? Isn't that what you told me?
What?
No, he's not in it, but he's still 007 in another universe?
Hold on. Who told you what?
I don't know. Clay, did you tell me something?
No, here's what happened. At the end of the last movie, he gave up being in the 00s to go be with Mr. White's daughter, whatever her name is, Swan or something. And so he quits. So when they do this new movie, there's a new 007. That's what everybody's making this big deal. They're like, oh my God, they're going to redo James Bond, but instead of James Bond, it's going to focus on 007, which is going to be this black woman, because James Bond movies are woke now. It's like, no, you know what?
No, this,
they're
this
not.
Story.
It's just going to be in this movie, all right? She's going to be the new 007, then James Bond's going to have to come back for some reason. This woman will either die, quit, retire, fly off, whatever, be the bad guy, who knows? And right. Then at the end of the movie, they'll be like, well, you're back to being 007 now, Bond. And he's like, okay, cool. And then Daniel Craig is like, I'm done. Then Henry Cavill will come and replace him as the next James Bond. next actor to play James Bond, 007. I don't know why everyone's getting all worked up about it, because you're not going to change your franchise after it's been so successful, particularly in the last batch of movies, for like 60, you know, 50 something years. So they're not going to do that. The Bond producers are so scared of changing anything that they will never stray.
But you're right. There's no need to stray.
Yeah.
People still see these movies.
Yeah. Skyfall made, it was the first Bond movie to make like $1 billion. Spectre, less successful, but still was like 800 and something million.
Not my favorite of the films.
No, mine neither.
Yeah,
it's still pretty good.
It's fine.
Christoph Waltz,
yeah, he's okay in it too.
And the cool car stuff with the like the old school car, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
There are things in it that are good, but my point being is that they're not replacing the character of James Bond with a new character who is currently 007.
You can tell that they like take I'm reading this, it came out this week, there was a James Bond that Greg Pak is writing and he's fighting Goldfinger, and they set it up so that James Bond has a kind of like Suicide Squad thing in his brain, so that like a bad guy could like, you know, explode his head or release like endorphins and make him feel good. So it goes in on this crew, and then James Bond like figures out a way to get the fucking things off of everybody, and then he wins in the end, but you can tell that they like are definitely have the James Bond people approve every script and every page in these things. You can tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tried and true formula. So, I mean, but I mean, of course people are going to, but I mean, how many times has James Bond quit or been,
it's, well, you know, he's kind of taken out quit of the, for the first time back in on Her Majesty's Secret Service. So he's been doing it for like,
Or he's gone rogue. His license to kill has been revoked and all that stuff.
It's sort of like watching the Mission Impossible movies where how many times is Tom Cruise going to go rogue? Well, I guess he'll go rogue like six times or however many movies.
However many movies they've made. yeah, I don't know, but people still see those movies too. It's really no different. What if they were like,
the
we're
one with
have...
Henry Cavill was so good.
Oh, I didn't see that. That I saw the one before, like, though. I liked it.
The one the with the mustache that made Justice League so controversial.
Yeah, well, he was really great in this too. Yeah, and the crazy shit they do with the helicopters, like, and going through the mountains, like really low to the ground, is like really scary. It's like, holy shit, Tom Cruise is gonna kill himself doing one of these stunts. That's how he's gonna die.
Well, he did hurt himself, right? Didn't he break a leg
he
or something?
He always hurts himself. He hurt himself on The Mummy.
I mean, he's like 60-something years old, right? I mean, just give it a rest, Tom!
But he has the spirit of Xenu or whatever. He's got Scientology blood. Young Scientology blood coursing.
Yeah, he couldn't get his leg treated after he broke it. Because
he injured himself.
He's not a Scientologist anymore, though, right? Oh, I think he's out. Yeah, I think he's been out
That's
for a while.
That's what he says. I don't believe anything.
Yeah. Well, with him, he's here.
I mean, actually, I could respect him again if he's like, he's out. Not that I, what do I need to respect Tom Cruise for? How do I care?
Yeah, but and I'm sure he doesn't care if you respect him either. So,
well, I don't need his respect.
Good, then it's settled.
Then it's settled.
It's just like, why would someone hack my Twitter account? Well, I'm no one important, and that's how Tom Cruise feels about you. There we go. He probably feels that way about me. Not Clay, though.
No, I know he likes Clay.
Yeah.
Because I'm always writing nice reviews of his movies.
It's true. Yeah. Even The Mummy.
I will say, John was saying, like, that you admire my, just that I can like everything. Sometimes after, I do have to say, like, I don't think The Mummy holds up to as good as I thought it was when it first came out. I get excited about new stuff. And then upon further reflection, my opinions may change.
Or being around me and Durson, your opinions might change.
Well, change I was saying to Stacy, because for some weird reason I wanted to watch Batman v Superman. And it's not really, it's not great, but there's like kind of cool things in it, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what I've said before, is that it's got things you can put on YouTube as clips, you know, you can put the clip of Batman, but unlike The Last Jedi, which has none of those.
And as I was watching it, I was like, they're doing like a ton of weird stuff with the story, which you could kind of make all work if they did it right, but they didn't follow through. So like the whole time that like the Flash is like shows up to Batman in a dream, he's saying something about she's the key. Am I too soon? Like, they were trying to go somewhere with the story, but then when Justice League came around, they did something completely different, and it's like, oh, well, they kind of fucked that up.
Okay. And then Batman's so what do you mean by she's the key? And he was like, oh, I meant the key was under the mat to the front door.
That's how he gets in there.
I said seize the key. It was under the mat.
I mean, like, I'm sure they had
and
all these plans.
Also that Gotham and Metropolis were across the harbor from each other, that's fucking dumb. That's dumb as hell.
Yeah, why do you need two superheroes if they're right next to each other?
And why were they like just say it's like Boston and Cambridge? It's like it's right there. It's like
they're essentially the same city.
Superman could be there,
like,
in
patrolling
2 seconds.
Each other's city.
Yeah. But I mean, Spider-Man and Daredevil patrol. All
right, you're right.
City.
But
all right.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
What do you
absolutely.
Mean?
I didn't. I actually never knew. Where is Gotham supposed to be then?
I thought Gotham was supposed to be... Wait, one's supposed to be Chicago and one's supposed to be New York.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought they were literally... I kind of thought they were right next to each other, just like they are in the movie.
But
I don't
Metropolis
know. Who cares?
Kind of makes sense as a New York analog. It's definitely an East Coast town. It's either Chicago or New York, but... Yeah, supposedly they're not really that close to each other.
All right. Yeah, whatever.
Depending on who's writing it or whatever. I guess they took the license to do that in the movie. It's not a terrible idea, but I don't know.
If you're going to cross them over, it's easier to just have them, you know, in close proximity.
Yeah, but they have bat planes and Superman can fly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Superman can fly.
He goes halfway across and the world to save somebody and then comes back to the party he's at.
Well, him and Flash have that race at the end or whatever, too. Who's faster?
I was talking about BVS. You were talking about JL, I know.
Oh, I'm talking about JL. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know I love it.
Whatever. I know, I'm just kidding.
I'm losing.
It's okay. I don't know. I do admire that. You are sticking by your guns. You love watching Justice League.
You guys have stuck by me as a loser for my entire life. I've always been a loser, so... Thanks for that. Thanks to you.
Hey, you know what? I was thinking about this podcast and Clay. I was thinking of you specifically because I popped in Attack of the Clones the other day just for
–
I was like, you know, I feel like watching this on DVD. And I
– Not on digital whatever.
I don't – well, because that's the thing. It's not around anywhere. I have to wait till Disney Plus or whatever. But
I have it. So I bought all those ones.
Yeah, I popped in the DVD because I bought the DVD like probably the day it came out.
Yeah, I know.
Probably better than the one I have.
Right? But I was thinking about, like, you said that was your least favorite out of all the Star Wars movies. And I was like, okay, I mean, it's not that good.
It's not good, but it's not my least favorite.
No, I still think Phantom Menace.
A lot of people really are down on it. They're like, Phantom Menace was bad, but Attack of the Clones was horrible. I was like, Attack of the Clones had a big fight at the end. Right. I made up for a lot of the other crap in it.
Fun beginning. I liked the beginning with the chase through the city or whatever. And then I liked the end. And that was about it.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing I really noticed, and I know this, it was probably in its infancy back then, but the idea that they put Christopher Lee's head on another guy's body, obviously, during the lightsaber part.
Yes.
Because he can't do that because he's a million years old. Or he was. He's dead, right?
Yeah, he's not alive anymore.
Yeah, okay. So... like I was really noticing, like, it's literally like a shot of his head and he just kind of waving a lightsaber in front of him very slowly. And then they would just go to a really wide shot.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know you're talking. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's like, wow, yeah, this looks bad. Like, this just looks silly. But
yeah, you had to take what you could get with an 87-year-old man. At
the time, right. You know? And then it was cool to see Yoda do that.
Because you want his voice, and his gravitas.
Yeah, he does have gravitas. And yeah, and the Yoda
Guinness
thing
was like 1,000 years old when, you know, Darth Vader cut his robe in half.
They couldn't even do the thing on the, like, put his head on someone else's body back then. Yeah. Back in 1977, they actually had to cut someone's head off and put it on another person.
And then by then the guy was dead. So I mean,
right? It didn't work. You're like, well,
Obi-Wan.
Get another actor.
I hate when Obi-Wan says Doth. It's like, say the whole thing, dude. Come on, Doth.
Only a master of evil, Doth.
Doth.
Yeah, he's the only one who ever called him Darth.
Darth, Pew, whatever.
Why didn't he call him Annie?
They're on a first name.
That's terrible too, Annie.
I always ugh. What a lame.
You know, here's my problem with the prequels, so.
Here we go. I never should have said it.
No, I'm not going to go on a big tirade. I'm just going to say that the character of Anakin Skywalker is not really consistent with how he becomes, you know, as a character as Darth Vader. He's very kind of calm and collected as Darth Vader, but he was just sort of a hothead. And I know that was supposed to be like, you're supposed to watch this character morph into... this, but he doesn't display like any personality traits that he ends up being known for as Darth Vader.
He doesn't portray many personality traits at all. Yes.
Oh, hey, Zane.
Flat.
Do you think like one day you'll see like 70-year-old Hayden Christensen at like a Comic-Con or something signing autographs? Because he has not literally been seen.
Yeah, he stopped acting like just a short time after that.
Yeah, but, was he just like, man? This
but
is...
to Brian, the aforementioned Brian, who you went to Cheers with, got his picture taken with that guy last year. It was his like first convention appearance in forever.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
So he does do them.
Yeah. Well, he's just starting. Oh,
was it Boston Comic Con?
Was it or was Rhode Island or something?
Yeah, I think it was Rhode Island. Yeah.
But now people have sort of embraced him in the last few years.
Interesting. I mean, it's not his fault.
No, I've seen him in other stuff, and he was good. Yeah. So,
my phone just vibrated right off the table.
Wow, the force. But yeah, I think everybody suffered from Lucas's poor direction in the prequels.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you're gonna like, I used to think Ewan McGregor was the only good actor in Attack of the Clones until I watched it again sort of recently. I was like, oh no, he's not very good in this either.
Not that good. Just compared to everyone else, it's okay.
But that does not change the fact that Revenge of the Sith is still my third favorite Star Wars movie.
No, Revenge of the Sith was much better. But like by then, I think there was a lot of goodwill had been sort of pissed away by that.
Yeah. And I think also just by the fact that the first two were considered so awful by everyone, the fact that this one was decent, everybody was like, oh, this one's pretty awesome.
I wanted to do a whole podcast on this one day, and maybe we still can, but not too long ago was the 20-year anniversary of Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
My newest sort of man crush, Judge John Hodgman, which Clay has gotten me into his podcast, recently talked about it on – he brought up a great point because they were talking about Phantom Menace. Excuse me. And he said, the problem with that movie – that movie changed – a lot of things because you can, it actually shows you that when you have all the money and all the creative control, it's a bad thing. And that's the problem with the prequels in general. But like Lucas had no one to check him. And he also had an unlimited amount of money to spend.
Checks and balance. He had Lawrence Kasdan there. Or was he there?
No, I don't think he was there for Phantom Menace at least. Right. But I mean, so it's not only like he had nothing holding him back. No one to tell him, George, that's not a good idea. And no one to say, George, you don't have enough money to do that. Like he had all the money and all the power and art. This is a Judge John Hodgman said. He said, art needs to suffer a little bit. You know, you need to have a little suffering. And that's a good point.
He left that to the fans to suffer. Hey.
Oh, and 20 years we've been suffering. Oh,
I like
man.
Just thinking about how when they're walking through like the hallways and stuff on Coruscant or whatever, and it's just like brings me back to like Mr. Mahoney's art class and like rendering 3D columns on the computer on an Amiga.
Yes, I remember that. I remember we played with that in his photography class as well. He let us play around with that.
But I was like, this is so bad. Like, did they just get the Amiga from Mr. Mahoney's art class?
I know. It's funny, but it doesn't make itself any, like, with all the wipes and the weird, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, like, it really does. It is like a bad student film, just like a kid with all these toys to play with. It's just like, just stop. It's like Homer Simpson.
Star wipe,
and we're out.
I'm taking my name off this thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with the prequels to me, and obviously there are many problems, but the problem really is no one, and maybe it's that Rick McCollum's fault for not speaking up more.
He's like, it's going to be great. George has got this great idea, and it's going to be amazing. Hold on, George is bending over to pick something up. I got to go stick my nose in his butt crack. George, this is great. This pair of jeans you're wearing smell terrific.
Yes.
Smell terrific.
Did you eat cabbage? Oh, God. Oh, I love cabbage.
That is so gross.
You really went down a...
I went down a George
hole. So graphic.
A George hole. So graphic.
sorry guys. I'm sorry. That was not amazing. That was terrible. That was a bad idea. Those are things that Rick McCallum.
George Lucas's idea. He would have loved. I don't know, but anyways, yeah. So 20 years. I think in a way though that did kind of change. I'm not going to be all like it ruined my childhood, but like things kind of got a little just
sadder or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of to dash some hopes. You're like, well, don't get too excited. You could be royally disappointed. You know, like, we hadn't seen a Star Wars. We were all so excited for a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And then it was terrible.
How many times did you go see it in the theater, though? You know? Like, I think I saw it, like, 5 times, but it was just because I wanted to watch the lightsaber stuff at the end.
Yeah.
Because that stuff was... hadn't seen that. If that had been the movie had been like that the whole time, it would have been awesome.
I know.
Yeah, well, that was cool.
Yeah, an actual athletic person.
Yeah, yeah. It's not too old. It's not an old guy and a guy in a heavy leather outfit that can't lift up, you know, a lightsaber. You know, it was real cool. It was, you know, mind blowing. Just a double saber lights. What?
No, he's got Obi-Wan. Qui-Gon call Darth Maul Doth.
I didn't call him anything.
No. Because, you know, he didn't need to.
No. But, yeah, and I like the beginning of the movie where they were fighting they were on the ship and stuff.
Yeah.
So they used that force run, which was a little ridiculous.
I know, a little weird. We'd never seen that before, and it was kind of...
And you never saw it again.
Yeah.
What's the force run? I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's like the sound effect they use in Army of Darkness where the bad ash gets all put together and it goes like, and <it's> like that's the sound effect that should have been when they ran. They just like, because I was like, wait, what just happened there? They just sped off.
Yeah, I know.
Lucas is like, just speed up the film.
Just speed up.
Look,
they can use their laser swords. I was like, "How come you don't call them lightsabers? That's what they're called." But you're always calling laser swords.
You guys do pretty good George Lucas impressions, I have to say.
That's our next podcast when
Avi Arad interviews George
with special guests. George Wendt.
George Wendt will be there.
George, hey, everybody.
Hey, hang on.
You're gonna have to play George Wendt.
I'm gonna have to.
Yeah.
Because I was a Cheers fan. Can't we find a guy that I can do the voice of?
You could be Coach.
No, I mean like a nerdy
guy. I can't do the voice of Coach.
I mean like a nerdy guy, like a science, you know, a science fiction or whatever.
Peter Parker? Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Parker?
Oh, yeah, you'd just be J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson.
be Megatron. How about that?
I don't know if I can do...
I don't know.
I can't do that anymore. Hey, that's isn't that Frank Welker?
It is.
Oh, okay. So he can do a lot of voices.
Yeah, he does a ton.
He's going to be at Boston Comic Con, as will Clay and I be at Boston Comic Con. Good
segue.
I've been
waiting dreams for you to announce it.
I just figured I would. That was a good segue. That worked. But many guests, including Clay and I, not a lot of comic book people, although Todd McFarlane apparently is going to be there.
Spawn. Working on being
his. Oh, what happened there? Something just weird happened.
Oh, did I do something?
I don't know.
Anyways, well, that's in 2 weeks. That's the, what is it? Is it Thursday? Does it start on Thursday or not?
I think it's the 16th through the 18th.
Okay, so it's not one of those.
That's Friday. I have a deadline that day that I'm like dreading. I'm not going to make.
Oh. Well, spend some more time talking to us. That'll help.
Guys, help the time go by while I'm working. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's good. That's good. But yeah, so I mean, you know, I haven't been to a Boston Comic Con in a few years, but I'm going to be there this year. And it should be fun. Facebook was reminding me of all the Comic-Con. It used to be like this week.
Oh.
It's kind of weird. They pushed it back.
There's a Comic-Con if people live in Connecticut, which they're listening, which they aren't. There's one, Terrific-Con, we considered going maybe because it's Stacey's birthday, but she'd rather like have a staycation night, which is fine by me.
That's always good. Staycation on your
like, go down there, get a hotel, and so, and I was like, it might end up being like super expensive. Going to the con, wanting to buy stuff. That's an actual
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Maybe Hayden Christensen will be there. I know. Well, it's funny because I should correct myself. This is Fan Expo. This is not a Comic Con.
It's just right? like Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. It's Boston Comic Con presents Fan Expo.
Oh, okay. Boston. So it is Boston Comic Con.
Because they bought the name because they wanted to just, you know, have the whole infrastructure. They bought those guys out of their whatever they were. I'm sure they made plenty of money. They probably still continue to make like some percentage off the show, which is cool. Good for those guys. They're all local.
Sure. I want to buy a Comic Con. How do I do that? Can I buy one? Isn't that a weird thing?
If my job started buying Comic Cons, look out, world. I don't think they're interested in doing that.
That should be the name of your Comic Con.
Lookout World.
Yeah, the Lookout World Con.
It'll be all G.I. Joe panels.
Or your production company, Lookout World.
There you go. Lookout World Productions.
You know what, speaking of G.I. Joe, there's a character in the latest My Hero Academia chapters I'm doing called Redestro, and now they've just started calling him Destro.
Nice.
Yeah.
I spent too much money on a targeted to me shirt, which is G.I. Joe 46, the cover with Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow on it.
I can't hear over all the hacking. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah. He just muted himself, I think.
According to the icon. Okay.
But I bought a G.I. Joe shirt, but it was like the first comic I ever got. So it was worth it. Even though it was
which one was it? You said Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes?
46.
Oh, I know that.
With Snake Eyes,
are they in like a doorway or something?
Yeah. And
fire behind them or something? I can't remember exactly.
What was cool is where the barcode is, they put a little Arashikaji symbol.
Oh.
And it doesn't say Marvel on it, but it does say 75 cents. And so is the G.I. Joe guy like shooting in the air. Breaker, or whoever that is.
Yeah, generic Joe. Cool.
Generic Joe. But some of the main Joes were generic Joes, like Breaker.
Yeah, like Zap.
Zap.
Right. Zap. He was sort of generic looking.
Yep, totally.
And like Short Fuse. I love the original 12 Joes or whatever it was. 12 or 13? 12?
Yeah, I think it was like 12. But there's that guy. I wish you were on Twitter, actually. We were talking about that because that guy that posts at Classic G.I. Joe. You can just go to his page. You don't need to log in. But he has like all, he posts like action, like the original paintings or like the.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've heard of that. Yeah. It's real cool.
And it's really awesome. It's one of my favorite Twitters. I think we lost Matt.
I think we did. We didn't wrap it up anyway.
I'm here. I've been talking this whole time. What the hell?
You muted yourself. You're muted.
Man. You're muted.
No, you aren't.
Here I was talking about all the classic G.I. Joes, naming them all off.
And you, they're like, why are they ignoring me?
Now I know. Now I know that within the line is through it, it's muted.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was coughing, too, so I just never unmuted it after the coughing. Sorry.
So, bad. The classic Joes.
The classic Joes.
List them off now before we end the show. Know.
Well, it's okay. There was like said Zap, Short Fuse, Hawk, Snake Eyes,
Flash, Scarlet,
Flash.
Flash, yeah.
Clutch.
Clutch, yeah. Steeler.
Stalker.
Was it Rock and Roll?
Rock and Stalker. Roll, yeah.
Steeler. I think, I don't know, was there any more? That might have been it. As far as the OG.
Breaker, did we say that?
Lady J.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, Lady J is not an original. She's waved from. Yes, Scarlet was.
Okay. Scarlet. I think that was mostly
it. Was peeling potatoes in the end of G.I. Joe number one. I think that's Breaker. It's it's basic Joe. Joe.
Yeah.
Who was the one that was always chewing the gum?
Breaker was always chewing the gum.
Yeah. Breaker was chewing the gum. He was the communications guy. And
Breaker, Zap, Flash. Short Fuse, Rock and Roll, That's Five, Hawk, Scarlet.
Oh my Clutch. God. I got into this I watched this YouTube video where I guess when Todd McFarlane was drawing G.I. Joe, Larry Hama.
I just watched a video about that. Yeah.
Did you watch that too?
Yeah.
So they had someone else do it. So there's this issue
Marshall Rogers.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, Todd McFarlane's stuff was never seen? Or
well, they didn't print it. Printed it like 10 years later or something.
Oh, okay. I thought he did like an annual or like one of the backup stories in an annual or something.
He did like Chuckles one, the Chuckles issue, and that's pretty much it. It's like one issue, but he was going to do like the next one, but Larry Hama was like, no, it needs to be more like Herb Trimpe. It needs to be more like basic. It's like you're drawing some crazy 90s bullshit. I don't want that.
You should bring that issue and have him sign it at Boston Comic Con Presents Fan Expo.
Well, I don't know where it is. I want to find it now. I guess they reprinted it somewhere. Like that's a variant thing I have to put into my G.I. Joe collection. Damn it.
Yeah.
Which I was going to Terrific Con. I'll look around at Boston Comic Con.
Yeah.
Presents Fan Expo. Presents Boston. Fan Expo.
Right.
Grunt. Forgot
Grunt. Grunt was like Grunt. The basic joke,
and then it was so there was Grunt, Stalker, Snake Eyes. We didn't even mention.
I mentioned.
Oh, okay. He said Snake Eyes. Fuse,
Breaker, Rock and Roll, Zap, Scarlet, Flash, Hawk, Grunchlam, Clutch, Grunchlam. Steeler. They had Cobra Officer, just regular Cobra, and Cobra Commander, which I believe was was he a mail away at the time? I can't remember.
I think so. What about Baroness? She wasn't.
She came in the 84 line.
Really? She wasn't
in Flash do explosives?
Flash had
he was like the laser gun.
Laser gun. He was the first guy I ever got.
A laser sword.
Yeah.
Or a laser gun.
Yeah.
A laser sword.
Remember those
glider things that they had. I remember I got that for my birthday once, and that was awesome.
But in a desperate chase or whatever it was. Sword and
I'm kind of jealous of you guys having a bunch of G.I. Joes. I never had any G.I. Joe toys. I had like one or two action figures.
I had tons of them, and then we burned them all doing Durst the Fire.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. What would you be doing with them now? Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, they would have been sold already.
He would have sold them.
Hey, you know what's funny? Is there's a I subscribe to a YouTube channel called the Pod Stallions, and they did a whole episode. Like it's like a 5-minute YouTube episode about remember the swords? They were like that we would buy at Bemis Drug, and they were like glow in the dark.
In
our little home movies, you know. The whole episode about that sword. It was kind of I completely forgot about it until that. I was like, oh my god. That's amazing how much the memories have brought back.
Did that have those sort of silver handles?
I think it just had some sort of real cheapy, sticker on the handle or something.
Oh, okay. I remember
a cassette tape of BC Boys Licensed to Ill from Bemis Drug. It was in this weird thing. It had a lock on it.
Yeah.
Those big. Yeah.
I had a whole a semi-drunk text conversation with Yo last night about why Pool It is a terrible album. I just start texting him at 11 at night going, the exception of two songs, Pool It's a terrible album. And it's a dumb name for an album, too.
It is a dumb name for an album.
And then we just went back and forth about the 80s production on it and how Davy Jones was probably responsible for making it so long.
I had no idea.
His career was just a series of poor decisions and missed opportunities.
I had no idea until a few years ago that song Whole Wide World is a cover.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's a good song. Like no wonder why that's one of the better songs on that album, because it's not actually theirs. They covered it. But my friend Mickey Dolenz, I should have asked him that. What the hell's up with Pool It?
It's like, I know we're here to talk about the movie Head, but what
let's
was the
talk
deal?
About the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Pool
yeah.
yeah. Jeez. The really 80s production going on there.
But no one besides Monkees fans would even know.
That's right.
And then they come out with
those one in Monkees the 90s. Fans, they turned out for that thing, man. Those are hardcore.
That was a full house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
And it made me feel real good about myself, too. I was like, I felt like, Brad Pitt. compared to many of the Monkees fans. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and when you saw them in concert too, you probably felt like Brad Pitt there.
Yeah. I find that as the older I get, the people my same that are in the same age range as me, I'm feeling more and more like Brad Pitt. It's, you know,
just imagine how Brad
Pitt's going to catch up with me at some point because I keep thinking I'm Brad Pitt. But
right. Brad Pitt always feels that way. Just think of that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like he's always
Brad Pitt. So I might as well just fuck him too.
You could just be your own little Brad in your world. You're Brad Pitt.
Your own Pitt.
Yeah.
Brad world.
Some of these people
look at yourself in the mirror and say, "You're the Pitts."
Yeah, some of those Monkees fans, they had some City Miles on.
Yeah, them. That's right. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. But, hey, you know, what are you going to do? They're living their best life.
Yeah.
They were having a good time. And so, anything else that we want to chat about here?
Yeah,
I got one comic. I got one more comic to talk about. Terry Moore's 5 years is moving along. 5 years, number three. So this is his like sort of.
I missed it. I hope they still have it.
I don't know. It's so weird. Like I've been going to the store earlier these days because I don't work. So yeah, but even so, there was only like two copies on the shelf. I'm just like, man, why don't you just buy more of these? Anyway, it's moving along. So, like, the point is, like, that there's going to be, like, they got, like, they're building this giant bomb that's going to take about 5 years. It's like a nuclear bomb that's going to kill everyone. So, Terry Moore's people are all sort of banding together. All the series he's ever written, they're all banding together to stop this. So, there we go. And, things are going along. It's moving along. So there's like international intrigue and Russians, but there's also a little sort of like, cause this girl she can't die. She's dead already, but she comes back. So there's a little bit of that horror supernatural stuff going on. It's a fun book. If you like Terry Moore's stuff, you should be buying it. But you probably are. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but if you're not, it's fun. Check it out. Whatever. It's only 3 issues in. You could probably still figure out what's going on. Anyway, that's all I got.
I like that book. I wish I'd seen it. I would have grabbed it.
I missed the previous one. It's weird. I don't always...
But don't you get it shipped to you?
No, not this one. I had the last one to me. This one I just kind of forgot. And I never got
around. I was confused. You said, there's only two. I thought you were getting them mailed to you.
I was. I mean, I should have. That's what I mean. Not I was.
I was.
No, I should have, though, because then I wouldn't miss him. But, yeah, there you go.
Support Terry Moore, though. He's one of
yeah, support him.
People to say support to.
He's one of the few guys left that's just plugging away. Me and him. Comic book creators out there just plugging away, doing our own thing.
When they think of Terry Moore in the same breath, they mention Matt Dirson.
Yeah, they're like, well, you know who else does that? Matt Dirson. Just plugging away at his own comic. And then no one can find it. Just like he can't find it. All right. Well, that's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to plug out there? Okay. You're good?
Yes.
Sounds good. See you at the club. And we'll see you at Comic-Con. See you at whatever the hell it's called. Boston Comic-Con presents
Fan Expo Boston. Fan Expo Boston.
Look out, world.
FanExpoBoston.com. It's easy to get to. Boom. Okay.
And,
That's it, right? Adios, assholes. Sayonara, shitheads. Later, you fucks.
Later, you fucks.
That's it.
No more. Where everybody